All right, we're back and ready to dive even deeper into this Bee Control world.
Okay.
Before the break, we were talking about how this system can connect to the internet and share data. It's like giving these massive floating docks a digital voice so we can kind of tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, how much technical expertise do you actually need to use this system effectively? I mean, the documents mention things like a rule engine and programming alarms. Does that mean you need to be a coding whiz to operate Bee Control?
Well, that's a great question, and something a lot of people probably wonder about when they hear about these complex systems. While there's definitely a lot of sophisticated software kind of behind the scenes, the user interface is designed to be pretty intuitive. You don't need to be a programmer to understand the data and make adjustments.
So it's more about having a good grasp of the principles of draft control and being able to look at that dashboard and understand what Bee Control is telling you.
Exactly. It's like driving a car. You don't need to know how to rebuild the engine to be able to drive safely.
Right.
And just like with driving, BeeConnect provides training to the shipyard staff as part of the installation process.
Yep.
They teach them how to calibrate the system, interpret the data, and respond to different situations.
That makes a lot of sense. You want the people who are using the system day in and day out to feel comfortable with it and confident in their ability to handle any situation that might come up.
Right.
Speaking of handling situations, let's talk about what those operators can actually do. We've talked about adjusting the dock's position. How does that actually work?
The main way to adjust the draft of a floating dock is through something called ballasting.
Okay.
It basically involves adding or removing water from tanks within the dock structure. It's kind of like a giant bathtub with strategically placed valves and pumps.
So by adding or removing water, they can change the buoyancy of the dock and make it rise or sink in the water. That sounds like it can get pretty complicated, especially when you've got a massive ship sitting on top.
It definitely requires skill and experience. That's where the real-time data and alerts from Bee Control are so valuable.
Yeah.
The operators can see exactly what's happening with the dock, how it's responding to the weight of the ship, and make precise adjustments to ensure everything stays balanced and stable.
I'm just imagining what it would be like to try to dock a huge ship without this kind of system. You'd be relying on gut feeling and eyeballing it.
It would be a lot more nerve-wracking, for sure.
Yeah.
And remember, we're not just talking about the safety of a ship and the dock. A system like this also helps protect the people working on and around those structures.
That's a really important point. It's easy to get caught up in the technology, but ultimately this is all about keeping people safe and creating a more efficient work environment. So we've talked a lot about the technical aspects of Bee Control, but I'm curious about the bigger picture. How does this technology fit into the overall evolution of the maritime industry?
Well, it's part of a broader trend toward digitization and automation that we're seeing across many industries, not just in shipping. Ports and shipyards are increasingly adopting smart technologies to improve efficiency, reduce costs, and make operations more sustainable.
So it's not just about making things easier. It's also about doing things in a smarter, more environmentally friendly way.
Exactly. And think about all the data that a system like Bee Control is collecting. That data can be used not only for real-time control, but also for long-term analysis and optimization.
I see where you're going with this. We could use that data to identify bottlenecks, optimize workflows, maybe even design better docks in the future.
You're right on the mark. And that kind of data-driven approach is becoming essential in a globalized world where efficiency and sustainability are paramount.
It's mind-blowing to think that a system that started with the seemingly simple goal of controlling the draft of a floating dock could have such a ripple effect throughout the industry.
It's a testament to the interconnectedness of everything in the maritime world and how innovation in one area can lead to improvements in many others.
You know, one of the things that keeps coming back to me is this idea of Bee Control as a platform, not just a single-purpose system.
That's a really insightful observation. The documents we've been looking at emphasize the flexibility and adaptability of the system. It's not just about measuring draft. It's about collecting and analyzing data from various sources to provide a comprehensive understanding of the dock's performance.
And that opens up so many exciting possibilities for future development. We've already talked about potential applications in other industries, but even within the maritime world, there's so much more that could be done.
Absolutely. Imagine integrating Bee Control with other onboard ship systems. We could monitor everything from engine performance to cargo status all in real time.
We could potentially optimize fuel consumption, reduce emissions, and create a much more connected and efficient maritime ecosystem. It's like we're on the verge of a whole new era of shipping.
I think you're right, and it's fascinating to be a part of this evolution and to see how technology like Bee Control is shaping the future of this vital industry.
Okay, before we launch into a full-blown brainstorming session about the future of shipping, let's bring back down to earth for a moment. We've covered a lot of ground today, and I want to make sure the listeners are walking away with the key takeaways.
That's a great idea. Let's recap the most important points.
So we started by exploring the vital role that draft control systems play in ensuring the safety and efficiency of those massive floating docks.
Right. We then delved into the intricate workings of Bee Control, highlighting its clever use of those hydrostatic pressure sensors, the digital inclinometer, and its powerful processing capabilities.
We also emphasized the importance of training those operators and making sure they feel comfortable using the system. After all, it's a collaboration between humans and technology.
And of course, we couldn't resist peeking into the future and speculating about those incredible possibilities like remote monitoring, AI-powered predictive analytics, and applications beyond the maritime world. The possibilities are truly vast.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener, revealing the hidden complexity behind something as seemingly simple as a floating dock. Who knew there was so much innovation happening beneath the surface?
It's a good reminder that even the most mundane aspects of our world can be fascinating when we take the time to understand the engineering and technology that make them work. But before we wrap up this episode, there's one more thing I'd like to touch on. We've focused a lot on the potential benefits of Bee Control, but I think it's important to acknowledge that no technology is perfect.
That's a good point. Every innovation comes with its own set of challenges and considerations. What are some of the things we need to be mindful of when it comes to systems like this?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is reliance on technology. What happens if the system fails or there's a power outage?
That's a great question. Do shipyards have backup procedures in place for those kinds of situations?
Any responsible shipyard would need to address those scenarios. Redundancy and backup systems are crucial in any critical operation. It's not about replacing human expertise with technology. It's about using technology to augment and support that expertise.
So those operators still need to be prepared to handle situations where the technology might not be available?
Exactly. They need to be well-trained not only in how to use the system, but also in how to fall back on traditional methods if necessary. Another consideration is cybersecurity. As these systems become more connected and reliant on data sharing, they also become more vulnerable to cyber attacks.
That's a growing concern across many industries these days, and the maritime world is no exception. Protecting these systems from malicious actors and ensuring the integrity of the data is paramount. These are just a few of the challenges that come with integrating advanced technology into critical infrastructure.
You're right, but I think that as long as we approach these implementations thoughtfully and responsibly, the potential benefits far outweigh the risks. It's about finding the right balance between embracing innovation and mitigating those potential downsides.
And that balance might shift as technology continues to evolve, which is why it's so important to keep these conversations going.
Absolutely. We need to keep asking those tough questions and thinking critically about the implications of the technologies we're developing.
This deep dive has given us a lot to think about, both in terms of the specific technology we've discussed and the broader implications for the maritime industry and beyond.
I hope it sparked some curiosity and inspired our listeners to learn more about the fascinating world of maritime engineering and the incredible ways that technology is shaping this vital sector.
Well said. And on that note, it's time to wrap up this deep dive, but the exploration doesn't have to stop here. I encourage everyone listening to delve deeper into the world of floating docks, draft control systems, and the amazing innovations that are making our world a safer, more efficient, and more connected place. We've been talking about some of the downsides of relying too heavily on technology.
Yeah.
And it made me think about the human element here. You know, building and maintaining these systems obviously requires a ton of expertise. I'm curious about the company behind Bee Control.
Uh-huh.
Beaconet, the documents mentioned they're based in Chile.
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting to see this cutting-edge technology coming from a company outside the traditional maritime powerhouses.
It really shows that innovation can come from anywhere. I'm curious about their approach.
Yeah.
From the materials we've gone over, they seem to be very focused on flexibility and adaptability.
Yeah, that's definitely a key differentiator. The documents highlight how Bee Control can be tailored for different types of floating docks and even adapted for other uses. It's like they're creating a platform for intelligent monitoring and control, not just a one-size-fits-all product.
That forward-thinking approach is probably essential in such a dynamic industry.
Right.
They even mentioned integrating AI and predictive analytics.
Which, as we discussed, could revolutionize maintenance and safety. Imagine predicting problems before they even happen and taking preventative measures.
It would be a game changer, for sure. This whole deep dive has given us a glimpse into the future of floating docks, and it's pretty exciting stuff.
I completely agree. I'm eager to see how Beaconet and other innovators continue to push the boundaries of what's possible.
Before we get too carried away, though, let's bring it back to our listeners.
Okay.
We've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah, we have.
What are the key takeaways from our deep dive into Bee Control?
We started by exploring the fundamental role of draft control systems in ensuring the safety and efficiency of those massive floating docks. Those systems maintain the right depth to protect both the dock and the vessels.
Then we went into how B-Control uses those hydrostatic pressure sensors, the digital inclinometer, and all that powerful processing to achieve that level of control. And of course, we can't forget those important 6-monthly checkups to keep the sensors in top shape.
We also touched on the training for operators. It's a collaboration between humans and technology. And of course, we explored those intriguing possibilities like remote monitoring, AI-powered predictive analytics, and even applications beyond the maritime industry.
Right.
It's been quite a journey.
This deep dive has shown that even seemingly simple things like floating docks can be incredibly complex and innovative.
Yeah.
Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay, I'm all ears.
We've been focusing on this specific system.
Right.
But the principles we've discussed, I think they apply to so many areas of our lives. You know, technology is becoming more and more integrated into our world.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing how we work, how we live, and how we interact with our surroundings.
It's crucial to be aware of both the potential benefits and the challenges that come with this increasing reliance on technology. We need to be thoughtful about how we use it, how we protect ourselves from its downsides, and how we ensure that it ultimately serves us in a positive way.
That's a great point. So as you go about your day, take a moment to notice the technology around you.
Yeah.
Think about how it's being used and the people behind it. Ask questions, stay curious, and never stop learning. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to develop the next groundbreaking innovation that changes the world.
That's a fantastic note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring and keep asking questions.
And to all our listeners, thank you for diving deep with us. We'll see you on our next adventure into the world of fascinating facts and technological wonders. CEEE.